welcomed the Lord Jesus into his house. The theme this morning is how to hear, or if you like, how to respond to the truth of the Lord. We're going to read the one story, then we're going to think about it and some related stories. How are you supposed to hear, and how are you supposed to respond to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? We'll read the whole story, Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." And so Simon said, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And then he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Well, it's a wonderful story. And as I was reading it over a few days ago, I was stopped by it. And I said, "Harold, this is a marvelous story. We've got to tell more people about this story. What can we do? How can I tell?" And so I thought this morning I would just go over this story with you and see if we could learn some things from it. It's a simple story. The man was a Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, and he invited the Lord Jesus Christ to his house to have lunch. That's a very wonderful practice of the church today that goes back literally thousands of years. And I was just thinking last night, all right, Harold, how many houses have you been invited to in your life for lunch on a Sunday? Well, you know, I can't count them all. I suppose hundreds. And here, there, as I've traveled around the country, and here, there in Vancouver, just over, people have said, "Will you come to my house for lunch? You come to my..." What a wonderful thing. It's a very, very pleasant activity. If people invite you for lunch, say yes. And then you invite them for lunch, and you will find a great blessing associated with it. What a wonderful thing. And so here's Simon the Pharisee, and he says, "All right, I'm prepared to have the Lord Jesus Christ come for lunch." I think probably he did so for the wrong reason. I'm not sure that he really wanted to do it to learn. I'm not sure that he really wanted to do it to honor the Lord Jesus, but he did it anyway. And better to invite somebody for lunch for the wrong reason than not to invite them. And so he invited them. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus came along. And another guest came to that house who wasn't an invited guest. She was a sinner woman. In those days, in the land of Israel, it was hot, and they didn't have walls around all the time. They let the air through. And this woman probably just walked in off the street into the yard, and instead of sitting at a table the way we do today, the custom was in those days that you would you would recline at a table. You'd sort of lean over, your feet would be out one way, you'd be leaning over, and you would eat from the table in a reclining position. I'm glad that since then they invented chairs. I think it's a far more reasonable way to eat, but they did it that way in those days. And when they did it, your head would be around the table and you'd be talking to people at the table, but your feet would be sticking out just about as far as you are. So your feet would be way out over there. And this woman came along, and she wept about her sin, and she anointed his feet with ointment, and she wept and wiped the feet with her tears. She wept with her tears, and then she dried his feet with her hair. And it was an amazing sight. None of us probably have ever seen anything like it. I've asked some ladies on occasion whether they've ever done that with their hair, and everybody that I've spoken to so far said, no, I've never done that with my hair. But it would be a marvelous thing. We smile at it, but what a sign of devotion it was. This wonderful woman. And then the Pharisee, his response to this whole thing wasn't the way it should have been. And instead of saying, what a wonderful thing, this dear woman realizes that she's in big need and she owes the Lord Jesus Christ so much. And she's devoted to him in such a wonderful way. Instead of praising her, why, he criticized the Lord Jesus for ever being associated with her. Are you ever thankful that the Lord Jesus is willing to be associated with you? Yeah. Do you ever wonder why? I do. And I say, if I were the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think I would want to spend terribly much time with Harold. There's all those other people that he could spend time. Why would he want to spend time with me? Why would he even tolerate me in the same room? But he does. And we're so thankful that he does. So here's this woman, and she's showering her devotion upon him. And the Pharisee is criticizing. Now, how do you hear the truth of God? Do you hear the truth of God to criticize? Or do you hear the truth of God to respond? And so he heard it from a critical point of view. And so he tells a story within the story. You've noticed that the Bible is a wonderful storybook, and it's a story within a story, and there's a related story, and it's all these delightful stories. Within the story, then, is a story of two people who were in debt. Sometimes when you're in debt, it's a big problem. Usually it isn't a problem until the person to whom you owe the money insists that you pay. And then you say, uh-oh, I've got a real problem, and all the money is due next Friday. What am I going to do? And so here were these two creditors, and we don't know much about them. They owed 500 pence and 50 pence, probably the equivalent of 500 days' wages and 50 days' wages. If you were earning $100 a day, what would $500, 500 days' wages be? Well, it'd be $50,000, wouldn't it? And 50 days' wages would be $5,000. Is that the right math? So if you owed somebody $5,000 and somebody else $50,000, or if there were two people who owed money, one was $5,000 and the other was $50,000, the guy with the $50,000 problem has got a bigger problem. And neither of them could pay the money, and so they each requested forgiveness, and the fellow to whom the money was owed says, I'll forgive you both. And then the Lord Jesus asked the very pertinent question. He says, which one is going to love the man who forgave the debt the most? Who's going to love the most? And the man with $50,000 is going to say, wow, that's a huge debt. Take me a long, oh man, am I ever thankful. And the fellow who owed $5,000, he said, oh, well, maybe if I got a good job, I could pay that off in 5 or 6 months or something. Maybe it isn't that big. And so the man who owed the most loved the most. The Lord Jesus put that question to this Pharisee. Who loves the most? The man who was forgiven the most. Do you understand that? I had a hard time understanding that. I read the story often down through my life, and I kept on saying, I'm not sure that the man who is owed the most always loves the most. I'm not sure that the man who loves the least, who owes the least, always loves the least. And I had trouble putting it all together. And as I was reading it again recently, I put these questions to myself again. And I said, Harold, how do you hear the truth of God? And I noticed that there were four different Simons, at least, referred to by Luke, three in his gospel and one in the book of Acts. And so I made a list of the four Simons. The word Simon means hearing, doesn't it? I made a list of the four Simons to find out how they heard. Okay, so a quick review now. The first Simon was the Christmas Simon. Okay, you remember at the story of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And shortly after that, the Lord Jesus was in the temple, and there was an old man by the name of Simon, and he saw the baby, and he looked at the baby, and his words were, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. It had been told him that he would not die until he had seen the salvation of the Lord. In comes Mary and Joseph and this little baby. Simon looks at it and he says instinctively, because it was revealed by the Spirit of God, that little baby will one day pay the price for sin and be the salvation of the world. And he believed it. He rejoiced. He said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. I've seen your salvation now. Now tell me, was that easy to believe? You see a little baby. Babies are cute. All babies are cute. I can never understand why people get so excited and they say, well, that's a cute baby. All the babies are cute. Okay? And here's this little baby. And he's there. And the... Spirit of God says, Simon, that is your salvation. And Simon says, I believe that. Are there reasons for not believing? None that are very good. And when God says it, do you believe it? And Simon said, I saw him. I heard the Spirit of God. I knew. I believed. Wasn't easy. He believed. There was another Simon. You remember him better. His name was Simon Peter. And we read, I think, three stories about him in the book of Luke. The first Simon, his response was, I hear. The second Simon responded to the truth of God, but slowly. The first time he heard him, I think, frankly, the first time he heard him was in the synagogue in Capernaum. And some of us here have been in the synagogue in Capernaum. And in particular, I sat down on the stone bench on the side of the city of the synagogue in Capernaum. And I said, as I was sitting there now, Harold, pretend that your name is Peter, Simon Peter, and pretend that the Lord Jesus Christ is up at the front there preaching. And I said, Lord, I would have liked to have been there and I would have liked to have been sitting right here when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. Peter was. And I think Peter said, this is great. I think, can't prove it, but I think what happened was that after the sermon was over, Peter went to the Lord and said, listen, Lord, would you please come home for lunch with us today? I think that he invited the Lord, and I think the Lord said yes. We can't take time to go into all the story, but what happened was he went to the home, and Peter's mother was sick, and he went into her room. She probably had malaria, I'm not sure. She had a great fever. And so the Lord said, where's your mother-in-law? Peter said, well, she's sick upstairs. I think that Peter, the Lord went upstairs and healed her, and the mother came down and made some of her favorite scones for the Lord and for Peter, and that's sort of the way the day ended. And Peter believed. You can understand he would have believed. The Bible says that he who loves, who is forgiven least, will love least, and he who's forgiven most will love most. Did Peter love? Yeah. But there was another story, wasn't there? Just a few chapters on. There's another story. And this is the story about Peter in his boat at the side of the Sea of Galilee. And some of us have been there and tried to remember this story at that point too. But here's the Sea of Galilee, and the people are all standing on the shore, and the Lord Jesus borrows Peter's boat and is sitting offshore, and the Lord Jesus is preaching to the people. And then when the preaching is over, the Lord says, now, Simon, put your boat out a little from the shore here and put down your nets and let's catch some fish. And Peter said, you know, I've been fishing all night, and this is not going to work. It's going to be an exercise in absolute futility, but he's the Lord, and I guess we'd better just... So he says, all right, Lord, because you're Lord, I'll do it. And so he puts out his net, you'll remember, and they get this great multitude of fish, and his net breaks, and he calls for Andrew and Peter, Andrew and James and John, and they all come to help. And when it's all over, Peter says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. What happened between the first and the second story? Well, Peter learned that he was a bigger sinner than he thought he was. How big a sinner are you? And I'm going to be bold enough to say that the longer you live, the more you're going to learn that you're a bigger sinner than you thought you were. I find that hard. I suppose it should mean that the longer I live, the more I love him, shouldn't it? And the Lord said, Peter, I'm not going to leave you. You say, depart from me. I'm not going to let you depart from me, Peter. Why don't you and I, instead of going to catch fish, why don't we see if we can go catch some men? I'll make you a fisher of men if you stick with me, Peter. And instead of leaving Peter, the Lord says, Peter, you get closer to me, please. Isn't that gracious of our Lord Jesus Christ? We didn't love him that much. And he says, now that I've proven that you don't love me that much, how'd you like to come closer? Oh, you say, that's very good. That's not the end of the story of Peter, is it? Because you see, you get to the crucifixion and the Lord says, I'm going to die, Peter. And Peter says, well, I'll die with you. Lord says, you're going to deny me, Peter. Peter says, I'll never deny you. And do you remember that shortly after that, he did deny him. And the Bible tells us that Peter went out and wept bitterly. And you understand that. And then 3 days later, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he appeared privately to Peter. And what did he say? He said, Peter, you go away, you run away? No, he says, Peter, I still love you, and you love me. Now you just stay with me, Peter. And you're going to be that rock that you've always wanted to be. He who loves most will be he who is forgiven most. He who loves least will be he who is forgiven least. How much has he forgiven you? Oh, you say, I'm a guilty sinner. He's forgiven me all those bad things that I've done. Well, that's true. Do you know what he's also forgiven you? He's also forgiven you all those bad things that you didn't have an opportunity to do and that you probably would have done if you'd had the opportunity to do it. I remember hearing a preacher say, he says, I'm going to tell you what the Lord Jesus did for me. He said, he saved me from a life of drugs. He saved me from a life of immorality. He saved me from a life of murdering people. He saved me from a life of stealing. And his friend said to him, hang on, man, you got saved when you were 6 years old. He said, I sure did. What a wonderful salvation that is. I got saved from all of those things. I never did them. The Lord saved me from them all. And you and I, we say, Lord, you saved me, and that's wonderful. You love me, and you forgave all my sins. You forgave all the sins that I committed, and you forgave, well, you kept me from all those sins that I didn't forget. How much do you love him for? Well, you love him for realizing, don't you, that your heart is a sinful heart. And the more you enter into what he has done for you, the more you learn about his holiness and his love, and the more you learn about the depravity of man, why, the more you say, Lord, you've saved me from so much. Hallelujah. Now, the Pharisee, he didn't believe all that. He said, I've been pretty good since I was a kid, and I've memorized the Bible, and I've done this, and I've done, and I'm very good, you know. And he never did really love, because he didn't realize the heart. We're told, is it Jeremiah who tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things. It is desperately wicked. Why do we keep on reading the Bible? Do you ever read the Bible read the Old Testament? And as you're reading along, you say, oh, these people were so bad. How could they be so bad? Do you ever do that? And then you say, I know why they're so bad. They're just like me. They just had a little more opportunity, and they didn't have the blessing of the Lord enter in to keep them from all that evil. But we read the stories in the Bible to find out about the heart so that we will say, Lord, I need you. I recognize I'm a sinner. I need you, and I want to love you much. So I tried to summarize the stories of the Simons who heard. The first Simon, he heard the truth of God and he believed it. The second Simon, Simon Peter, he heard and he responded incrementally. That's not bad. You respond as much as you can, don't you? You respond to what you know. And then don't you say, Lord, I've responded to what I know, but would you teach me more, please? And when he teaches you more, by the grace of God, you'll respond more. I want to be a more enthusiastic responder to the truth of God today than I was 20, 40, 60 years ago. That's the way it should be. Now, the third Simon that we read about was Simon the Pharisee, and he resisted the truth of God. And, well, that's really what I was planning to talk about this morning, but our time is gone, so I guess we talk about that next week. He resisted. You don't want to resist the truth of God. A lot of people do, you know. They hear the truth of God, they know about it, but they hold back and they're trying to think of another reason why they don't have to say yes. He resisted. There's a fourth. He's over in the book of Acts, chapter 13. He's called Simon the Sorcerer, and he believed. Well, he partly believed. But you see, he believed with a manipulative belief. He responded and he said, I think that if I can get into this Christianity racket, I don't know that he used the word or even would understand it in those days, but he said, I think that I could earn some money in this, you know. I could turn this Christianity thing to my own advantage. And so four ways to respond to what you hear. You can hear it. You can respond incrementally. You can resist. Or you could say, I can use this to manipulate to my own advantage. Which is the way to go? Well, the way to go is the Simon Peter way. And you say, Lord, I've responded a little. Could you help me respond more enthusiastically next time, please? Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. And you know, it's true. I love you because I don't deserve your love. I told you that she was in the basement here one Sunday afternoon when we had a Bible study about 6 or 7 years ago. And it was a terribly snowy day and very few people arrived. She arrived and then others came in. She was probably 5 or 10 minutes late for the meeting. And everybody else, because of the snow, was about 25 or 30 minutes late for the meeting. And as she was sitting there, I turned to her and I said, Lucy, you tell me, why did you become a Christian? And Lucy's eyes just welled up with tears. And down the cheeks, they flew. And she said, somebody told me that Jesus loves me. That's a good reason to become a Christian, isn't it? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. And she heard the wonderful message. And she said, I know I'm a sinner, but Jesus loves me. And her heart went out to the Savior in love. That's the way we would like to be. Simon Peter, what a wonderful man. And he kept on responding to the message of the Savior. That's the way we would like to be tomorrow. No, next Sunday, Lord willing. We'll take a look at this Simon the Pharisee again and compare him to that dear woman who stood behind him weeping. See if we can learn what response to the Savior ought to be. Lord, we're thankful for the message of the Bible. It's such a wonderful message, Lord, and we didn't really spend time on it today, but at the end of the passage we read those simple words. The Lord Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. What a wonderful thing. And Lord, each of us acknowledge that we're sinners, and each of us acknowledge that we're far worse sinners than we think we are. And Lord, each of us say, Lord, would you help us love you more? And if you have to tell us more about our sin, Lord, and tell us more about our sin, because we want to love you, not a little. We want to respond a lot. Lord, keep us from sin, but show us, we pray, what you have saved us from, that we might love you and love you and love you. We are thankful that Jesus does love us, and that if we trust him, if we believe him, he will forgive all our sins. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.